We are absolutely 100% live. Hi, everybody. My name is Bucky Beeman, commercial real estate agent from Rochester, Minnesota. I'm excited today for my first ever podcast attempt in the new setup in the studio, as some would call it. I'm excited to actually say I have a studio with all this high-tech equipment in front of me. And I'm even more excited for my first ever guest. I'll let him introduce himself.
How's it going, guys? My name is Sam. I'm the owner of Skyworks LLC, a company right here in Rochester, Minnesota. And we are an aerial imaging company. We also help real estate agents with marketing, and we do a lot of stuff in the agriculture industry related to crop data collection and other sorts of applications for farmers.
This is going to be fun. This is the first ever attempt at a podcast, so we'll see where this goes. I don't know exactly what my main topics are going to be with my podcast. I don't know what the focus is going to be. I kind of have a sense of it. I think it'll be commercial real estate. I think it'll be related to commercial real estate marketing and CRE tech and just all things commercial real estate related and business focused. And I think Sam is just an absolute great first guest due to the fact of his excitement to be building his company and how focused it is with real estate and his ambitions to grow in this industry. Sam, what got you interested in real estate?
You know, when I found out that I was interested in business, I started school and working towards my bachelor's in business administration, and I got to talking with a lot of professionals. And what it kept coming back to is they'd build their feeder business, right? Their initial first venture. They might have a couple failed attempts, but invariably, towards the end of their career, they'd always move into commercial real estate as an investment. And so I got really hot on the idea of commercial real estate as an investment. And so naturally in my research, I learned a lot about the ins and outs of the industry, and I learned a lot about the sales side. And from there, I think it just really sparked a passion.
And I know now you are going to school for real estate, which is unique because you're actually the first person I've ever met that's going to school for real estate. Tell us a little bit about that decision and what led to that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think after doing plenty of my own research and figuring out that I was a lot more excited about real estate than anything in the sciences, I talked to my school, and they were willing to kind of piece together a major. At this point, I had already owned a business for a while, and so I wanted to continue to get the business education piece, since that's why I was in school first and foremost. So I sort of began to pull over a couple of real estate focus classes, a real estate law course, market analysis, and intertwined that with my business education, and it's been a really great experience.
So rewinding the clock, you said you had a business prior. What was your first business?
Correct. First business was a painting company. So I started school actually in studying pre-med, and after a while, I realized, and by a while, I mean 2 weeks, I realized that that wasn't what I was cut out for. And so I quickly moved into my business degree, and I was just excited to get out and do something real world. And so after, you know, a couple nights of research, I decided that I was going to form an LLC and get after it. And so my painting company was born, and all uphill from there.
And when you say a couple nights of research, I guess that really surprises me with you just were really interested in business. Was that something that sparked your interest back in high school in some way as well? Or
you know,
how did the
whole
business thing start?
I hadn't put enough thought to it. I think naturally it's the direction I should have known I was going to move into. And in elementary school, I was always coming up with lemonade stand type businesses and little ventures to earn a buck. And I think looking back, it was a really natural decision, but I just didn't see it at the time of enrolling in college.
And so now fast forwarding, we are now onto your second official business, which you own yourself, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And tell us just the beginning stages of that business. What is it? How did you come up with it? And how are things going?
Yeah. So I came up with it kind of by accident, doing some research on I can't even remember what I was researching at the time, something in the tech industry, and I came across some articles about drones and their use, their newly legal use in commercial applications. And at the time I was reading this article, it had been 2 months since the FAA came out with their new Part 107 legislation to regulate the use of drones in commercial applications. And reading more and more into it, I just kind of identified a lot of potential for the hardware to serve a lot of different industries. I think, building a business around a tool is probably a dangerous thing because it can become obsolete, but I found it so interesting with drones that it's something that people have kind of all throughout history been moving towards, this artificial intelligence and this, it's never been possible before. And so reading more and more into it, I realized that drones allowed us to do things in commercial real estate for marketing and in agriculture for data collection in ways that we never could before. And I think just based on that promise for a lot of use in these industries, I decided to pull the trigger and get on the bandwagon right away. So the company started as solely an aerial imaging company.
How many months are we into that new company?
I think it's month seven or eight now.
And what would you say is like some of the things that have surprised you with just this type of company in the market that we are in related to ag or commercial real estate? What's some of the surprises thus far?
You know, I don't know if it's a surprise or not, but slow adoption. You know, and I think it's something that I anticipated. The real estate industry is adopting more quickly. The agriculture industry, especially in the area we're in the Midwest, is still a little bit slow on the uptake. I think it's going to take a while and some hard proof before the value is really seen across the board, but that's what I'm striving for.
And that first drone that you purchased, have you purchased multiple, or did you go right in and buy a very expensive one out the gates?
I bought my DJI Inspire 2 right after the drone came out, and that's it's kind of their flagship film production drone. But what I like about it is there's a lot of choice in the gimbal that you can put on it, and it's a really robust platform in that it's really well designed for both the filming and marketing side of things, as well as the data collection.
And how many times have you crashed it?
Zero so far. Fingers crossed and knock on wood.
Now, as you've started to use this drone, what are some specific type of services you're doing for clients?
Sure. So it's a lot of aerial listing videos, a lot of flying over new properties and creating attractive advertisements. And that's been the bulk of the work. Again, I think I have done a little bit in the way of crop inspection, and that's something that I'd like to continue to focus on because I think that there's a lot of money-saving potential in the type of data and the speed and efficiency at which the data can be collected.
And what else do you see as potential services that you could add? I know it's endless, but trying to hone in on a few specific services you're excited to either do more of because you haven't met the right customers to want to do these services, or with additions of programs and softwares you look to expand into.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So I think to answer your first question, the inspection industry I think is huge. So when I think about drones, I think the two big appeals to them are, one, the safety factor. They can go places that humans cannot go safely. And then the speed and just feasibility factor. Not only can they go places humans can't go safely, they can go places that humans can't go, period, and they can do it very quickly. And so I think the inspection industry is going to be huge, talking power lines and cell towers, this type of thing. And then I think also to answer your question about other softwares and things I'd like to incorporate, I see Skyworks as a company. I'd like to take it beyond just the point of aerial imaging, and you know, we can get into that more, sort of the other services we're offering, but I think that VR and virtual reality, especially in real estate, is going to be another big one. I think that probably will, in the, you know, maybe not so far future, we'll see listings being marketed entirely online and people can go in and take a virtual tour of the property instead of having to be on site. So that's something I'm really excited about continuing to build out in our company.
Well, one thing I'll speak of is just how I've worked with Sam, and I can't even recall how we met. We'll have to go back in time and try to see how that all came to be. But what we've been working on is those listing videos as he shared, and those listing videos then get shared on multiple listing platforms, because most listing platforms nowadays have the ability to post videos onto them. And so we are posting aerials onto LoopNet, which is the most popular, I would say, commercial listing platform. We're posting them on social media. We're posting them on things like Instagram and Twitter, and we're just using them to really catch people's attention in our market to be a standout in comparison to our competition. And it's a marketing attempt that really does, I feel, make us stand out. And with the proper editing especially, it can really highlight the property in the correct way as to lot lines and what property you're talking to from an aerial view and how close it is to the road or to a specific area in town. So it's been fun working with you. Sam, how the heck did we meet? I can't even remember that.
I reached out to you. So I think
I remember.
It was LinkedIn. And it's a funny thing because I remember I sent you a message on LinkedIn and you sent me your calendar response and I scheduled a time. And I think when we met, you told me, you know, frankly, I don't know why I took your call, because you know what you told me was that you'd had a few drone service providers reach out to you and it was never really worth the time of day. But
that's one thing I will give you, for your company being so new, you do have a good eye for creating a marketing and a marketing effort and a brand. And so in looking at your brand very quickly, I thought it was one of these drone companies from a different state that we're looking at probably hiring somebody with a drone in my market and then collecting a fee related to being the middleman. And so I thought that's the type of service it was that was inquiring. I almost didn't respond, but yes, you're right. Then I did respond and then we met and I'm like, wait, you're from Rochester? This is weird.
Local, right?
Right.
Yep.
So, and also through LinkedIn, honestly, I don't get a lot of people looking to schedule meetups via LinkedIn. It's still very much, I feel like most of the messages I get are kind of spamish on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that just made me feel like I don't
know.
Recognize that you were going to actually be somebody local. So that was cool. That was very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've been spending some time over the last couple months just diving into using your knowledge and your services to help with some of the marketing efforts that myself and my firm is working on in the commercial real estate arena. What are some things that we're also discovering through working real closely together? Let's speak to not only one another, but also the people that will listen to this afterwards so they can kind of figure out some of the things we're discovering related to, as we call it, CRE marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what sets... what makes or breaks, I was going to say sets apart, but I think what makes or breaks a good marketing campaign is the content and then the distribution. You need both sides. And so I think it's difficult for a lot of companies and a lot of agents alike to market their services in the case of companies, or to benefit from these services in the case of real estate agents, because, okay, you spend the money to have someone who's very talented on the production side create you a masterpiece of a listing video, but then you don't have an effective pipeline to distribute it. Or on the flip side, you've got a great pipeline to distribute. Maybe you're a well-connected individual, but what you're putting out is not stuff that's interesting or shareable. I'll use that word, shareable. And so you're not ever expanding that network. And so you might be putting out, you know, decent content for the people who you already know and who are already willing to work with you. But the goal of effective marketing, of course, is to break beyond those walls. And so I think the two halves are really important. And we've certainly experienced that over the last couple of months, is building out those two sides in both of our brands here.
Mm-hmm. One thing I feel like we've learned as well is how we can work together in relation to distribution. I feel like my firm has figured out how to distribute on the listing platforms that so many commercial real estate agents know about. For example, LoopNet or their local MLS or their maybe metro area MLS, like ours is used with a tool called Excelligent. We have that figured out because our office admin does all the distribution of the creative, as we'll call it. So the pictures, the video, the details of the property. But what we haven't figured out as a firm, or even myself as an individual, is the distribution on social to where we view these social platforms as also a listing channel, just like LoopNet. Like Facebook is a LoopNet on steroids, meaning you could target people related to the listing that you post on there. You have the ability to have live comments. You have the ability to have shareability. Mm-hmm. That does not exist in the LoopNet platform. And so Facebook has to be viewed as a listing platform, where the bottleneck tends to be is the agent or the firm doesn't get it on LoopNet correctly. And where we've started working together is, not that we have it exactly figured out by any means, but where you can also help with the distribution on those platforms, from simply getting the right information to the office admin to send out on Facebook, or to possibly teeing it up for scheduling so that it is set to come out and be shared with individuals that may be interested in the property. So it's been unique working that closely, of not just saying, okay, do a drone video and I'll take it from there and get it in the right places, of saying, all right, let's do a drone video, try to do it better than anybody else's. And then from there, let's figure out how to distribute this in the best places at the best times that lead to the best results. Yep. And working together with that.
Yep. And that's a huge value add. When you're talking about trying to start a company like this, I think that's the biggest advice I would give to anybody who wants to get into the aerial imaging market is, I was going to say diversify, just expand your services. You need to be the package, because if you stay in your lane and do just the aerials, it's not going to be as helpful to your client in the end as if you would be able to provide them value on the distribution side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think another thing we've learned just in working together is how we can actually expand on this whole media company mentality, mm-hmm. of building a brand, building a company. So just in a short amount of time, Sam and I have both figured out that we have a lot in common, and one of them is we want to build companies, we want to build brands. And so a way of doing that is by building a media company. And so one investment that we've made is in this podcast setup, and we can talk through what this podcast setup is, but it is one step closer to becoming the resource via voice and with the internet's help to people that may be interested in topics we are discussing, such mm-hmm. as this topic, CRE marketing in the drone business, or in your case, if we're marketing Skyworks, how you can be the resource for all things aerial, and not just in our market of Rochester or Midwest, but online to many people for them to find out about our companies and our passions and our overall story. So
yep.
We do share in that. How else have you seen us, you know, figure out how we can act more like a media company?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been an adjustment. For myself personally, I was not used to doing the Facebook stories. I wasn't used to doing the Instagram stories. I wasn't used to documenting my day. And so I think for myself, it was just getting in the rhythm and continuing to get in the rhythm and used to, comfortable with this process of going through and, okay, now I'm not just doing this, I'm doing it and I'm documenting it. And it's just a different mindset to be in. And I think I'll let you speak to it, Bucky, but I think with you, it's a lot of, you had that, that you were comfortable with that, but I think it's continuing to figure out how to do it quickly and efficiently, because your time is so valuable and your schedule is so booked 24/7.
Yeah. And I think having one another to push each other to be like, hey, look, are you posting on your story? Or two, we're going to do a podcast, set the time,
yep.
make it happen, right? And yep. so that's been fun, just working closely of trying to become this media company for our brands that we represent.
Exactly.
So let's talk through real quick this podcast setup, because I think some people may be interested in it. And like I said, this is our first time ever doing this. How the heck did we get this set up, and where are we at right now, and what type of equipment do we have in front of us?
All right. Well, let's start from the top, the important part. We got two cardioid microphones, and we should have my brother on here describing this stuff because he's the sound guy, but you speak into the front of them, and they are pretty powerful because we're running a Focusrite Claret it's a audio interface, but it's got power built in, and we've got the gain just about maxed out to power these things. They are big microphones, but they sound really good.
And the unique thing about that Focusrite is that it had a Thunderbolt cable that could then hook up to a laptop, and that's what we have it hooked to now. So then through that Thunderbolt, the audio is feeding into the computer. Is that how that works?
Exactly. Yep. Wow. And it's a lot higher of a quality audio feeding into the computer than, you know, say your standard 3.5 millimeter aux cord or something.
And then we do have two mic stands, just the arms that are adjustable and can be moved. And then we have the pop, what are they called?
Pop filters.
I almost call them pop sockets, like on the back of your phone. And yep. We also have the mic in this case-like thing. What is that thing called?
Yeah, we got an isolator set up here too. So when we're flailing elbows and getting all riled up over here, you don't hear us hitting the booms.
And then what we decided to do is bring the audio into the computer and then from there use a tool called MixLR, M-I-X-L-R, and explain a little bit about the pricing for MixLR and then what the functionalities are of that, Sam.
Sure. So from what I can remember, I think it's $200 a year for the standard kind of medium paid package. And the way, at its core, the way MixLR works is you pay based on the amount of features you need and more so the amount of time that you need to be allotted to broadcast every day. And so we're paying for 12 hours a day, more than we'll ever use. But it allows you to broadcast live to Facebook, to your website through an HTML plugin, and to your MixLR page, which is kind of your own little web page inside of their website. And so it's pretty neat. People can come on and they can chat with you via text on your page, and they can interact with you on Facebook and other platforms. So we're actually running a dual computer setup, two separate computers, two separate monitors here. And so the plan is, once we build up a little more of a following, we're going to have one of our computers set up to show our live Facebook feed and our live MixLR chat. And then the other one will be running all the audio controls, so we can kind of be interacting on a live basis with you guys, which I think will be a really cool thing.
Awesome. Well, we'll see where this podcast takes us. I anticipate having other guests on. I don't envision, personally, for my podcast, for it to be necessarily all focused on Rochester by any means. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, RGI's podcast, which I'm hopeful to build out, will be more focused on Rochester. And the brand that I'm building and the podcast that I'm building is focused on the commercial real estate industry as a whole, and that can be many things, but obviously focus on tech and social media marketing and all those great things is something that I'm passionate about. So thank you for tuning in to my first ever podcast. We don't have an intro yet. We don't have an outro yet. We don't have sound effects yet. You're getting it at the very
This is the rawest
stages.
This podcast is ever going to be.
And where can they find out?
And the most improvisational.
And where can they find out more about you, Sam, and your company and your podcast?
Yep. So check me out at skyworks.co. And we're going to be podcasting mine right after this. And so check it out on the website. It's all live there.
Catch you soon.
Later.